So I want to start by just addressing kind of the elephant in the room about our text today, which is that it's a difficult lesson to understand. If you at all felt confused about what that story meant as I was reading it, you are certainly not alone, because I've spent all week researching this story and the parable of Jesus that he tells, and all the experts can't really agree on exactly what this means. But all of them start out by saying, this is one of the most difficult parables in the gospel lesson. And it's a good reminder to us that sometimes scripture is layered, especially Jesus' parables, are layered with many different truths. Nothing that I read could come up with a consensus of one thing that is like, here's exactly what Jesus meant when he said this and this and this. But there are many truths, many things that Jesus means in this story. And it's a reminder that scripture to us is active. It's not like this textbook where you open it up and you get black and white answers, but it is a living document. Hebrews says that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. And so when we read scripture, we can't always just look at it and know immediately right from wrong, but we always approach scripture with prayer and by the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit. And then, especially with parables, that's what's so beautiful about them. They have so many different layers of truth and meaning to them that the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts, and that each time we open scripture or open and read a parable, God may say something different to us as we listen for what God is saying. And that's one reason why the Bible is such a wonderful book and why we can go to it time and time again, and that God will speak to us differently each time. So then the question this week, of course, is what is Jesus saying to us today as individuals and as a congregation? As I spent time praying and looking at this scripture, I felt that Jesus is inviting us, as he often does, to put ourselves in the position of a person in the parable, this time the manager, who is really kind of a steward. You know, steward is a word that we use quite a bit in the church, especially in terms of stewardship, right? A steward is someone who has been entrusted with something that is not his own or her own, to care for it. And a steward, though, can be kind of a dangerous position. I mean, think how many movies or books have one of the villains as a steward, a bad steward, a bad manager, somebody who has mismanaged what they have been entrusted with. So a great example is the Lord of the Rings movies. They have that character, the steward of Gondor, who becomes kind of a villain at the end of the story because he has been entrusted with this kingdom and he cannot let it go. He has turned and become focused on what he was entrusted with and not the person who entrusted it to him. Also, the story of Robin Hood. That's one that more people may be aware of. In the story of Robin Hood, the king, Richard, has entrusted Prince John with his kingdom while King Richard is away at the Crusades. And of course, Prince John becomes the bad steward of the kingdom. He squanders the wealth of the king. He uses it recklessly. He takes advantage of the people that he's serving. Instead of serving them, he burdens them and overtaxes them. And that story actually fits our parable in an interesting way, because in our parable, we have this kind of bad steward character, like Prince John. But then in the parable, that this manager then kind of does a flip-flop and becomes Robin Hood at the end. Did you notice that? He's giving away his master's wealth, in effect, at the very end, as he's trying to make friends. And that may be a fitting example, because as Amos told us, in our first reading, there was a lot of corruption at that time and a lot of practices that took advantage of people who were poor or needy. There were easy ways to cheat the weights and measurement systems so that someone owed more than they truly owed. And so we don't know if that was happening in this parable or not, although Jesus does say that all of this wealth is dishonest. He doesn't say that the owner himself was a good man. And it may have been a real blessing to those people that the manager cut down the debts that were owed. We don't know. That's one of the things that's speculated. But regardless, stewardship is very difficult because of what Jesus says in the very end of today's reading. Anyone can really only serve one master, and it is very tempting to serve your master's wealth rather than to serve the master himself or herself, right? And that's why you get these villains, because they are entrusted with this wealth, and they serve the wealth. They become enticed by the wealth rather than serving and honoring the person who entrusted it to them in the first place. Or corporations, you know, when people embezzle money, you're more in love with that money than you are in love or honoring your corporation or whoever you're involved with there. So it's a very real and contemporary issue as well. This idea that stewardship, good stewardship, is difficult. So Jesus puts us in this position of the dishonest manager and challenges us to consider whether or not we have been good stewards or managers. Jesus says at the very end, whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. So Jesus asks us to consider whether or not we have been faithful with the little things that God has entrusted to us. And he warns us that if we have not been faithful to the little things, we will not be entrusted with greater things. So then what are the little things in our lives? What does God entrust us with? I think an easy place to look for some of that answer is just in Luther's Small Catechism, when he talks about what is our daily bread. Because our daily bread, from Luther's perspective, are the little things that God gives us every day that we need for our life. So Luther defines it as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, property, money, material possessions, a faithful spouse, faithful children, health, reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. He throws some other things in there too. But those are things that I think we can all connect with as things that God gives us each day that we are entrusted with and entrusted to take care of. So, for me, sometimes, being a good steward simply looks like changing a dirty diaper because God has entrusted me with this wonderfully active toddler that I need to take care of. And that is one way that I am a steward of the small things that God has entrusted me with. But it's a temptation for me to worship my daughter. And that sounds strange, but I've talked about it before. You know, it's easy for me to make my daughter the center of my life and to make my focus in my life as just being a mother and make that my prime identity, when my prime identity is that I'm a child of God and that I worship God because God is who has given me the gift of my daughter. It's a very subtle switch, but it's very tempting to happen. And I think that this can happen with our other daily materials as well, especially if we feel, if we're struggling, if things are scarce and things are tight, it's easy to get wrapped up. Or if we have this abundance, we want more. It's easy to worship that process of getting more or to worship keeping what we have and to lose our focus on God as our master. So what about us as a congregation? What are the little things that we have been entrusted with? Obviously, if you look around, we've been entrusted with beautiful property and a beautiful building. In fact, we just purchased, just recently, I think 11 acres of land on the northeast corner of our lot here. I keep reminding people because this is our land. This is something that God has blessed and entrusted us with now and that we can use for the good of God and for the good of others. It's easy to forget, though, that it's there. God has blessed us with the many wonderful ministries of this church, and God has blessed us with the spaces for those ministries. In fact, I think the gathering, or the new Gathering Room is a good example of us using our blessings well for others, because we have this great space, and we said we want to be more hospitable and use it in service of others. So how can we increase our hospitality to anyone who comes in the doors? And that space is now a more hospitable space. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's great. But I think most importantly, God has entrusted us with relationships here in this congregation. This is why, instead of sitting at home and watching a television preacher, you come into the congregation. It's because together we are the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and God has blessed us and entrusted us with those relationships. Anyone who's ever had trust broken by someone knows how valuable trust can be. And by the way, we are, people in church are just as human as people out of church, and it will occasionally happen that somebody breaks trust within church, but we have been given ways to be faithful to one another, to forgive, and to be faithful to these friendships and relationships. And that's what makes this community thrive. However, we're still in danger of worshiping our wealth rather than our master, even as a congregation. I don't know how many churches I've heard about where the church has split because of arguments over things as petty as carpeting, or relationships, and people aren't tending to the relationships. You end up with these factions, and people argue, even in the church. I know a church once where the choir went off and started its own church because I don't know what happened there, but it's one of those things where when you start worshiping what happens in the church rather than worshiping God himself, that's when we become poor stewards or managers, and that's when problems arise. So how can we be good stewards of all that God has given us without falling into these pitfalls of becoming like the villain? And this is where we get a little bit of help from the parable. It's interesting that what the poor manager is commended for, it looks like it's cheating his owner, but he's going through and he's building relationships by giving away some of his owner's money. And the owner says, well, that's actually kind of shrewd. He actually commends the man for it, which is strange. But he's using what he's been entrusted with to strengthen relationships. And I think that is a lot about what our ministry is called to do, is to build and strengthen relationships, relationships between us and God and relationships between each other. And if you think of all these gifts that we have been given, if they're not strengthening those relationships, then we let them go. Sometimes there are ministries and it's like, this ministry just isn't meeting, it's not serving our community, it's not serving our congregation. Maybe it's time to let that ministry go and take up a new ministry, focus on a new ministry. What is important is that we're not worshiping the ministries themselves or the building or the property, but that we're worshiping God. Not even that we're not worshiping our relationships either, but we're worshiping God through these relationships. But ultimately, I think the best example of stewardship, of taking care of the little things, is Jesus himself. And if you think about the parable from last week, we have the story of the lost sheep, one sheep out of 100, and Jesus says in that parable that the shepherd goes and searches out that one little lost sheep. And the story of the woman searching for the coin, the one lost coin. Jesus sets this example of searching for the lost and helping those who are considered often to be little by society. So Jesus, in his actions, blesses the children. And the children would have been little in that culture, not important to an important religious leader. Jesus heals the woman who was bleeding, where a religious leader would not have touched a woman or been concerned about something that might have been considered little in that perspective. Jesus heals the lepers and the sick. He reaches out to the little all the time. He was faithful in the little things that were entrusted to him, just as he was faithful in the greater things as well, and ultimately dying on the cross for us. God has entrusted Jesus with our care, and he is the one that we can look to for guidance. God hears our little prayers, and God answers us and is faithful to each one of us. And when we fail at stewardship, as we will sometimes, he offers us a second chance. That's another interesting thing in this parable. We don't know what happens to this guy because he's commended by the owner of the land, and he may be kept on because he says, you know, you're shrewd. Actually, I'm going to keep you around. We don't really know what happens. It doesn't say. But God does give us second chances because we often fail at these things. And through Christ's faithfulness to us, we are able to have a second chance to be faithful then to the things that God has entrusted us, both small and large. Through Christ's example, then, we may be faithful as a community to one another. And this is where sometimes the forgiveness comes in as well, that sometimes we are able and need to forgive one another because we will always, in some small way or sometimes in large ways, fail one another. But Christ's forgiveness is the ultimate act of faithfulness to us and will always forgive us and be faithful to us. So let us pray. God, I thank you that you hear our prayers, both the small ones and the large ones. And I thank you that you are faithful to us in things little and in things large. Please help us to be faithful to the things that you have entrusted us to. Help us to be faithful to your ministry and to your word. And help us to come and seek your forgiveness when we are not. Thank you for your faithfulness to us through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.